about a week ago in Bible class, a young man who we refer to as Deacon Lemonhead, and that is a real individual at the church, a young man that loves the Lord, that knows the Word of God, wants to know the Word of God, and we're praying that God does, that His will is carried out in this young man's life. But he has a very important question that I believe all of us should know and understand. Now, I can't go into a lot of depth in this, but I need you to have your Bibles. And we're going to be reading some scriptures here to answer the question. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that when you die, that's it. It's over. Game over. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. No, not at all. The Bible doesn't teach that. And because your mom, your dad, your grandmother, your auntie, your great-grands, whoever, God bless them, may have passed the information down to you, it doesn't mean it's correct. They may have given you what was given to them, and they thought it was true. There may have been limitations to their understanding, to their education, that led to them. And the Bible said that God winked at men's ignorance at times, but He doesn't always wink at our ignorance. He winked for some. He's not winking for everybody. And so the young man, Deacon Lemonhead, Brother Hurd, asked the question. And that question was, is there a difference between hell and the lake of fire? In our subject, what we're talking about at the end of David's disobedience, or David's going into David's situation with Bathsheba, as we came to the end of our discussion, there was something that was mentioned about hell and the lake of fire. And so the young man asked a question, as I said earlier, is there a difference? And the answer is yes. And so I want to touch on that a little bit right now. And as I said, some believe in total annihilation, and what you would refer to as being annihilationist. But as I said, there is no Bible principle for that. But in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, not the only place where you'll find this, but Revelation 20, 11 through 15, it gives us some insight. Now, this is very important, because one thing that anyone listening to this, you cannot dispute what I'm about to say. You cannot dispute the fact that you live, people live, they're born into existence through the miraculous process of birth that God created, and people die. We transition. We leave here. Money does not go with us. That new car, that old car, whatever is precious to you while you're here during your existence, it doesn't go with you. Even if someone bury it in the box that you're placed in, or burn it in the cremation with you, it does not go with you. So no one disputes the fact that we live and we die. What we do in between that time is important. So Revelation gives us this insight. It says, in the beginning at the 11th verse, 2011, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Death and hell, remember the question, is there a difference between hell and the lake of fire? The scripture here is telling us that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The prophet Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, and the second verse, gives some insight. If you know anything about Daniel, he was dedicated unto the Lord, and he was not an old man. Daniel was a young man, like Brother Hurd, taken into captivity for the sins of the people. The people did not listen to what God was saying. Some of the things that we're suffering in our lifetime, some of the things that people are suffering around the world is because they refuse to hear what God is saying. People have their own theory, their own opinion, and saying, well, the Bible really don't mean that. The Bible means just what it says. And so whether you believe it or not, it does not change what God is saying. It doesn't change it for me. It doesn't change it for you. It doesn't change it for whomever is in office and whatever position they hold. It doesn't change it for first responders, second responders, or any other responders. It does not change for the person that is sleeping on the curb. It does not change for the person that is living on the hill. It doesn't change for anyone. It's from the jail to the from the pit to the palace. It is from every in every order, every life. It applies to everybody. Daniel, in the 12th chapter and the second verse, he gives us some insight . He says, I'll start the first verse. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stand for the children of thy people, and shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Listen to this. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, remember, of Revelation, the book of life. Whoever's name is not found written in the book of life is not going to obtain eternal life. Your name has to be in the book in order to obtain eternal life. If your name is not in the book, and your name could be in the book today, and then you turn around and say, well, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to march to a different tune because I don't believe that's what the Bible says, and it doesn't take all of that, which I don't know what you may be referring to when you say it doesn't take all of that. But the Bible speaks about the fact that your name can be blotted out. The first sign of whiteout can be blotted out the book of life. I don't believe anybody want our name taken off the roll. We don't like our name taken off the roll. When we're in school and we're not included in a field trip, we don't want our name taken off the roll. When we're playing a game and we're not selected, even though we were standing there as a candidate to participate, we don't want our name removed out of the roll of anything. And so Daniel goes on to say, and many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake. People that are dead, people that have been buried, people that have been gone for years. The Bible said they're going to wake up one day. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contentment. Meaning that now the Bible tells us, the Bible says this. It says it's better that your sins go before you than to come up after you. Because see, if things that are in front of you, you can deal with them. It can be dealt with. But stuff that come up after you, you trying to be all of that and a bag of chips, you know, you all of that, you whatever. You know, we have so many imposters today. We have so many people that are imitators of their surroundings and what they see, and they don't know that there is something that follows along with that. People that are, I'm trying to word this correctly, but let me just go a different route with it. You don't want to be a closet liar. You know, you lie. You try to get away with stuff. You slick Rick and all of that. And you never deal with the fact that you have a problem with lying. And so your lies are now behind you. So have you ever seen when the sun is shining, someone is standing there and you see a great big shadow next to them? That great big shadow is all the sin, and I'm using that as an example, is a whole bunch of sin that they've done that have never been dealt with. Thank you, Lord. I love that. But if your sin is dealt with, and you, Lord, I'm sorry for lying, I'm not going to lie, and you start practicing telling the truth, and after a while you find that you're always telling the truth, just like someone that may have used to curse like a sailor, all of a sudden they're not cussing, and they remember one day that, man, I haven't swore a word in ages. It's not even part of my vocabulary no more. Thank you, Jesus. When you stand in the light of God, you do not have a shadow. Mm-hmm. There is no shadow in that presence of the Lord. There's no shadow in eternal life. You're illuminated by the Shekinah glory of God. You're illuminated by the presence of God. There is no shadow. And we'll have to come back to that another day. I'm just going to enjoy that for a moment. And so Daniel says some are going to rise up. And they're going to wake up and they're going to be ashamed. They're going to be afraid. They're going to be scared to death. They're going to be quaking, shivering, gnashing the teeth, grinding together. I don't even know how to describe it because I don't believe that there's words to describe what I'm saying. But you don't want to find yourself in that situation. The fourth verse says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." We live in a time of increased knowledge. Knowledge has increased enormously. My profession is information technology. It's dealing with knowledge, information. And it has to be dealt with in such a speed. You know, we talk about nanospeed and nanoseconds and all of this kind of stuff, you know, because we had picked it up off the movies growing up. But that's for real. Information has to pass. Knowledge has to pass so quickly that when there is a delay, my phone start ringing, my cell phone start ringing, both the phone and cell phone start ringing when that information is not being passed on, when that knowledge, that information is not moving as quickly as they want it to. Daniel said, "Knowledge." This is not the knowledge of God that's increasing. The knowledge of what's going on around the world is at your fingertip now. We can see what's happening in other countries right at our fingertip. I used to wonder when they said that the Bible said every eye shall see him. You know, how's everybody going to see the coming of the Lord? We're here, and it's going to be daylight here, and it's going to be nighttime over there, or it'll be nighttime here, it'll be daylight over there, but everybody's going to see the coming of the Lord. Well, technology had made that possible. If Jesus was to return right now, and when I say return, I'm not talking about the rapture of the church, so that's going to happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be changed, and nobody's going to see that happen. It's just going to happen so instantaneously that if you're not ready, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, which is a seal of redemption, which keeps you like a Christmas gift, the Holy Ghost it seals you up until God comes for you. Well, I'm not talking about that instance. But every eye shall see him. That's because technology has made that possible. We can see everybody at the same time can see what's going on around the world right now. Right now, everybody can see what's going on around the world. So knowledge has increased. Daniel points out to us that men would be going to and fro and knowledge would increase. The end time. Look, you can measure that we live in the end time. Because Daniel said, even to the time of the end time, that knowledge. So we are living in that day and time that Daniel saw. So the great white throne. John said, I saw the dead, I saw the great, I saw the small. So people like to put themselves on pedestals, you know, look what I've accomplished, look what, this is what I have. But the Bible here says that everybody's equal. Small, he saw the great, he saw the small, he saw the dead. So they're going to be people. Great white throne judgment. And we're not going deep into the great white throne judgment. But they're going to be people standing there. Catch this. They're going to be people standing there that was once dead. And now they're standing next to someone that never died. Think about that. Everybody is going to be standing in this judgment, restored, looking, or identifiable. Because, see, the Bible talks about when Jesus was crucified and he rose up, he went down, he preached to those that were sometimes disobedient. They repented of their sometime disobedientness, and they got up out the grave, and the Bible talked about how the saints marched through Jerusalem. They saw them, and they recognized who they were. People saw their loved ones that had passed, that was now risen and going on into glory. I know that's a discussion for another box, but it's written in the Word of God. Revelation, last book. It says that John received knowledge. Revelation 1 and 2 gives us more insight. Now, one thing I want you to realize this is that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. People always talk about heaven because they're scared to talk about hell. But when you start talking about hell, then you have to change your ways. When you start talking about hell, it will put a governor on your life. A governor is what they put on vehicles and automobiles that stop it from. And instead of it being able to do 75 and 100, it slow it down and keep it under certain speeds for safety. God, we need a governor in our life. The Word of God governs our life so that we don't start running rampant and just doing any and everything and saying, oh, yeah, you know, God, look, if you could do anything and go to heaven, I don't want to do any and everything and go to heaven. That's not going to work like that. Mm-mm. And that's not what the Word of God says. Revelation 1:1-2, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, unto John, to show unto his servants which things must come to pass. Shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. God wrote this and gave it to John to show. John, tell the people this is going to happen. Tell the people this is what you saw, and the day is coming that is going to happen. And so John wrote about it. And as we're reading about, John wrote about the great white throne judgment. It's worth reading again. John said, I saw a great white throne. Can you imagine how scary this is going to be for people to see a God, a great one, a great white throne? It was one throne. It wasn't three. It wasn't two. It was one. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whom the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found from there. There's no place to run in this universe. There is no place to run in what's beyond what we consider the universe. There's no place to run. John said that there was a book, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. There's more than one book. The books were open. And another book. The books were open. And there was another book. The book, which is the book of life. You know, they've made movies off the book of life. They've made movies and called it the book of life. They've made movies and, you know, and they have tainted what we should be teaching our children and what we ourselves should believe first and understand, so that we can make sure that they're not being deceived. The afterlife either can be a time of pleasure in the presence of God, everlasting joy, everlasting contentment unto God. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book. This is why it's important to know what the Word of God says. Look, I read the manual at work to understand what is expected of me in the office. I read to know what's expected of me in my job performance. I read to know how to make the instruments, the tools that I'm using work on my behalf and work for the company, and to optimize and to make sure that everything is working efficiently, so that the company is reserved and making money, easily making money, rather than transitioning to a place where it is difficult. Because I want to get paid. I want to have a nice bonus at the end, just like you may desire that too. So it requires something. Well, salvation requires us to know the Word of God. And when I say know the Word of God, I'm not talking about to quote it. I'm talking about for you to live it. I have to live the Word of God. You have to live the Word of God. And anyone that want to be saved have to live the Word of God. So he said the books were open, and everybody according to their works. Now let me help somebody here, because works are not going to save you. Now, the scripture says that we're going to be judged according to our works. In other words, what did we do in this body? Remember, the body is a house. When people leave here, when people transition out of time into eternity, the house that they were in is still here. From experience of being in a hospital with someone when they left here, the body, when they took their last breath, the body became lighter. The body became much lighter than it was when there was breath inside of it. When that soul left, when that soul departed, the body, the house that they were in, became different. It was left here. And they had to give an account immediately of what was done with that body. What are you doing with your body today? What are you doing with your body? Is your body an instrument of immediate gratification of whatever you want to do? Is your body an instrument knowing, and I believe you know and understand, that God made you? And yes, God knew what you would do yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But we do things out of a choice. So what are you doing with the body that you have? The Bible says in Ephesians, the second chapter, the 8th through the 9th verse, it said, "By the grace, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So nobody can say, "Oh, wow, you know, look at what I've done. I started a charity, you know, and God is certainly going to help me, you know, and make." No, that's a charity, and that's a good work. And God bless you. Matter of fact, we donate to charities. We have something going. There's something going on at the church right now that is going to help children. So that's a good work. But a good work is not salvation. All of us can do good works. And I hope that you are. But good works do not replace salvation. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but the work of Jesus Christ is what we're talking about. Not your natural works, but the works of Jesus Christ. And I'm just about done here. But I wanted to touch on this because the brother asked, the young man asked, is there a difference? And there is a difference. But more importantly is that you don't want to experience the difference. You want to avoid it all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's God's plan. God's plan is that we ourselves should become righteous through Christ Jesus, who bled on the cross, who was born. You know, people have the nativity scenes up about Christ. Well, Christ grew up. Jesus did not remain a baby. If you, every woman knows that that child that they've given birth to, if it doesn't grow, if it's not putting on weight, something's wrong. Jesus did not remain an infant for us to put up a scene and not recognize the fact that he came to save us for our sins. He grew, and he grew in the favor of God, and he ministered, and he talked about hell, and he talked about heaven, and he talked about healing, and he talked about deliverance, and he talked about obeying the word of God, and he talked about being the light of the world. He talked about being the salt. He talked about all that would benefit us. What shall we render unto the Lord for all the benefits that he have given unto us? David said, "I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll make my boast in the Lord." Listen, the Bible tells us over in Revelation, the 19th chapter, and I'm going to end with this. The 20th verse, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Let me read that one more time. "And the beasts were taken, and with him the false prophet." Listen, the false prophet. The false prophet did miracles, "and that deceived them that had received the mark of the beast." This is after the rapture had taken place. People that have taken the mark of the beast. And let me help you with something here. There are people, and there have been movies that I've seen that said, you know, "Well, if I get left here, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, and if I get left here, I'm not going to take the mark of the beast, and I'm going to be saved." The devil is a liar. That's deceit. You will not be saved. How could you, if you can't live right now, where the presence of God is, where the Holy Ghost, the moving of God's Spirit, his anointing is existing right today, how are you going to live after the rapture? See, it goes to show that there is a deception that have come about in your life that's causing you to believe a lie. Let me explain something to you. The scripture tells us that the day is going to come that people are not going to be able to repent. Matter of fact, they're going to blaspheme God because the torment of during the tribulation period is going to be so great. And if you want to know more about this, I welcome you to Bible class at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, where Jesus is Lord. We believe in the Word of God, not opinions. We believe in what the Bible says. Men are not going to be able to repent. If you can't repent today, how are you going to repent then? If God's grace, the grace of God, is here today, how are you going to do anything when it's gone? I need you to explain that to me. I need you to help me. Someone needs to help me understand that, because I have not found that nowhere in the Word of God. The goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. And if the goodness of God is not here, because he's off with the saints, having given out rewards, how are you going to repent? Explain it to me. The Bible tells us this in Romans, the first chapter, 18 through the 20th verse. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So if you know the truth and you're holding it, and you're not living it, you're not witnessing it, you're not doing anything with it, then you're holding it in unrighteousness. 19th verse. "Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for they have shown it unto them." So if you have the knowledge of God and you know God is real, and you're not doing, God showed, he manifests himself, "For the invisible things from him, of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So then they are without excuse." Let me read this, and I'm going to stop. I said I was going to stop earlier, but let me read this. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judges doing the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them that do such thing, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impatient heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the judgment of God." Many say, well, God is haven't done anything yet. Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse, it says God is not slack concerning his promise. God waits patiently for us. And I thank God for his patience, because had God exercised immediate judgment on me during the time of my hard-headedness, I wouldn't be saved today. And so this is not a message about condemning anyone. It's a message of warning, since Brother Hurd asked the question, is there a difference between hell and the lake of fire? Yes, there is. What do I need to do? Avoid it. How do I avoid it? The scripture says, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to God's word. That's how we avoid it. We take heed to God's word. What do you mean? I listen to what the preacher says. The preacher is preaching from the Bible. Then I'm going to read the Bible and make sure that the preacher is telling me what's right. And if I don't understand, I'm going to ask the question, hey, preacher, explain to me what the word of God is saying here. And so that, and you have a right to ask the questions. What is the word of God saying, so that you can have understanding? Because the Bible said, with all you're getting, get an understanding. And so I see your hand there. And so we have to make sure that we understand what God is saying. And through prayer and supplication and the reading of God's word, through worship, through praise, we get a better understanding. Brother, I saw your hand up.